Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. As we roll through Tuesday, Steve in the Sunbury Motors Studio here in just a few moments. Talk a little Pittsburgh sports for a few minutes. Maybe get ready for a little bit of baseball. Speaking of baseball, there was an interesting story that came out of the Little League baseball realm today. The Jackie Robinson West.
It's actually an old story.
It's the first I'd heard about it being investigated, that they may be stripped of their 2014 title.
Shocking, isn't it?
Disappointing is the way I would call it. I mean, I know you have a different feeling on this, having known the sting of what happened to the state college team several years ago with the Danny Almonte issue and fabrication of a...
Well, let's start with this. This is not Little League Baseball's fault. I mean, when you have something this big and this encompassing, you have to have a little trust along the way.
Well,
hey, don't you think? I mean,
yeah, but I guess I wonder what how the process changed from the Danny Almonte years to now, that this is still happening where they're not sure of eligibility or the legitimacy of a league.
Yeah, but okay. But again, you're a group in Williamsport. You have hundreds of these things across the country.
I understand. You know,
the NFL is 32. Man, the NHL is 30. The NBA is 30. Major League Baseball has 30. I mean, college basketball has 65 in the Power Five, divided up into, obviously, groups of 10 to 14. All right, you know, here it's like one big umbrella, hundreds of these things. I mean, you're really going to sit there in Williamsport and really know what they're doing at the Amarillo Little League?
Well, I see, I don't think Williamsport is the particular location to blame. And the head office, I think you have to look toward the regional offices here and that are supposed to be reviewing these charters. And for those that don't know, the Jackie Robinson West Little League is being accused of using players from outside its local area, which would be a residency violation of a Little League baseball charter. And you know me, Steve, I am a huge Little League baseball supporter. I have been involved in the organization since I was 8 years old in some form or another, whether it's a player, a coach, an umpire. I am a huge supporter of this organization, and it concerns me when they continue to have an issue like this, what seems to be too many years too close together.
Well, it gets big.
And you're
last
right.
Last night, Stephen Curry last night got Monet Davis's autograph at the game.
Is that an issue?
What's an issue?
Well, I mean, is that going to be a collegiate issue? I mean, see,
no,
I'm making a joke.
No.
I'm making a joke because of the coach that actually called her and may have violated an NCAA regulation somewhere.
Gino Auriemma.
And the question you have to ask yourself is when does that become a little
Auriemma
ridiculous?
And Gino Auriemma, by the way, did not break a rule.
That's good.
She's not ninth grade yet.
See, that's reassuring. But I think
it
what concerns
I
me
could care less.
I think what concerns me, though, and I know Steve Keener and his organization will look into this very deeply, and I trust will do the right thing. I think what concerns me is Little League Baseball has gotten big worldwide, bigger in the world than it has maybe even in the United States in some time when you factor in everything together. And this is where I think their regional offices really have to help out a little bit in making sure that all these charters are done correctly and all of the paperwork is done correctly, because it's got to be a paperwork nightmare to make sure everybody's in the right spot. I mean, I know what it is for just one particular little league, let alone having so many as each regional office has to deal with. But it's just, it's concerning that it happens a lot more often.
Or each little league can just, each little league can draw the kids from their own area in their own league and play.
Well, and isn't that, and isn't that where the heart of the issue is here? It's not,
of course it is.
It's not the kids by any means. It's the parents and the people organizing said leagues. Yes, very true. That's very true.
I totally disagree with you on that.
You don't think it is?
Oh, look, the parents, no question. The organizers, no question. The kids, no. And to tell me the kids don't know, you're telling me the El Monte kid didn't know he's 14 years old? I mean, come on, really? Really?
Well, I don't know. Some of these lines are really blurred as to where you can draw players from. So if you're if you live in this town but your address is in this town, where can you go? Now, you can research it, sure. So I don't expect the kids to know that in this particular case.
They know darn well they didn't play against Bobby during the season.
Well, no, I think the problem here
okay.
No, I think the problem is that Bobby played in this league on a separate team, but shouldn't have been playing in this particular league, should have been playing in a different league. I think the way I understood it, that's the issue that they're looking at right now.
Don't make the mistake of thinking kids are stupid.
I don't know. I'm not as
do not make that mistake of thinking kids are stupid.
Did Danny El Monte know how old he was? I'm willing to give you that. I don't necessarily think a 12 or 13 year old was aware that he should or shouldn't be playing in this league.
If they didn't play against Phil over there, they're not in the same league.
But that's not the way it works. I mean, this Jackie Robinson West Little League, if it's set up like every other Little League, plays games inside its own little division and then picks the best players from all those teams to make their all-star team. So he would have played in that Little League. The problem is, should he have been playing in that Little League or, and I'm pulling a fictitious name because I don't know what the neighboring league is, should it have been Jackie Robinson East? That's where I think the problem is. And that's where I don't blame the player
as
much.
No. State College has two, American and National.
Right.
We all knew what division we were in. The kids knew what division they were in. Hey, this is the equivalent of taking kids from the Belfont Little League and having them play in there. Okay.
I think it's blurred in some leagues, but I don't know that this one is one. I'll put it. How about that? I think it's a little tougher. Like, I'll give you a great example is South Columbia, where your address could be, your mailing address could be Bloomsburg, but you go to a different school district because of where you live. That's where I think the lines could be a little blurred there. But in this particular case with this type of league and the league that you're talking about in State College, I think it's a little easier to determine. You think I'm crazy, don't you? It's okay. You can say it.
Don't be naive.
How do we take something really nice and mess it up?
National TV, the fact that Ed O'Bannon gets in a trial and says maybe Little Leaguers ought to be paid, that a bigger deal is made out of kids than maybe it should be made out of.
All are very valid points.
That's why I'm not big on, for example,
the high school football game of the week nationally on Friday night. They sit there, they talk about the recruiting possibilities of this kid, and this kid, and then don't even do the game.
Okay, I got it.
Do you know at one point you were not allowed to broadcast Little League games, regular season, or any of the All-Star games or anything along that line? They changed the rule.
Well, first of all, ESPN does an absolutely outstanding job with this.
Oh, we've talked about that many times. They do a great job.
They treat it beautifully. No criticism of the kids. They realize they're 11 and 12, and in some cases 13 years old. Because, again, remember, any kid that is born in the month of August can be 13 and play in the Little League World Series. Because August 1st is the cutoff day. So if you're born August 2nd, you're 12 years old, and you play all year as a 12-year-old, and suddenly in the Little League World Series you're 13. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
I was so mad. Mine was July 30th. I was so mad it didn't work out.
Well, you know, athletically, it's just been your entire career in a nutshell right there. And
not like I would have made the All-Star team anyway.
It's always been with you about bad timing.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So if somebody thinks winning the Little League World Series really is that important in the grand scheme of the world, I look at the Little League World Series, and to me, it's Little League kids playing ball. That's the way I've always looked at it. I've never looked at it as special, exceptional, or anything like that. You got to get lucky. You play well. You play hard together, and the whole thing. I think that there's been too much put into making things a year-round effort to do things. You know, I've said that how many times in this show.
And you and I are in 100% agreement there.
I think there are too many tournament teams, too many traveling teams, too many okay, let kids be kids. Have some fun. Pickup game in the backyard is actually better for them. And, hey, we're going to go to our sixth tournament this summer. Are you kidding me? You can get too obsessed with something. Right? I don't mind if you go to two tournaments when the season's over. Get a little extra baseball in, whatever. But, you know, okay, here we are in the middle of July. Okay, go on vacation. Go to a lake. Have some fun. Get ready if you want to play football, basketball, whatever. I mean, friends of mine, well, what'd you do on your summer vacation? Well, you know, Matt had this soccer tournament out in Colorado Springs, and I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And yet, if you don't go, then your kid, quote, falls behind.
So that's what his problem's been all these years.
No, yours has been genetics. Stop laughing.
He gets his athletic prowess from his mother.
Well, that's the only thing that's kept him alive. So, Ken Shurto, U.S. Olympic wrestler, going to join us to talk about Penn State wrestling and the state of youth wrestling.
Can he train my kid?
Coming up. He can. And he would probably do well. Ken's an excellent teacher.
Yeah.
Now the question is, can the father be trained?
No.
The year was 1915. Thomas Edison was lighting up the countryside. Abigail Geisinger was starting a local hospital. Henry Ford was building the Model T. And J.O. Mertz founded the Sunbury Motor Company.
100 years later, Sunbury Motors has become the most established and recognizable Ford franchise in all of northeastern and central Pennsylvania. In 1915, Sunbury Motors had an inventory of around 10 vehicles. And today, there's over 500 to choose from. They had two employees then and almost 200 now. SMC continuously improved for you. Sunbury Motors has a complete service department with a separate diesel shop and quick lane for your convenience. A state-of-the-art body shop and frame and alignment shop, along with one of the largest Ford parts operations on the East Coast. In the past several years, Sunbury Motors has also added the full lineup of Lincoln and Hyundai vehicles. Everyone is welcome to become part of the SMC growing family. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Thanks, J.O.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. We're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Josh Yowie, Pittsburgh Tribune Review, next half hour to talk about the Penguins. And joining us now is Ken Sherto, U.S. Olympic wrestler, has his own camps, also an analyst, whether it's BTN, high school wrestling. Ken, welcome. Great to have you with us. And it is always a pleasure for us to talk wrestling with Ken Sherto. Ken, welcome. Great to have you back with us.
Hey, everybody.
He's here. He's ready to talk. Hey, let's talk about Sunday. What, you know, when you look at the setup in the arena, the blue strobes above, the wrestling on the mat, the crowd there, what did it do for the sport?
Awesome for our sport. We need to do that more. We need to let the people that want to see Penn State wrestling see it. We need to be in there more often. That was exciting stuff, and the marketing team did a really good job of dressing it up. It was just a very exciting environment.
It's also an interesting all the way through that there were no majors. It was 6-4, and they were all decisions. And 6-4 in favor of Iowa. Your thoughts on how it played out?
Well, that's what you get when you get two great teams going against it. I mean, there was no holes in either lineup. Just really good. It went well for us. I mean, it could have been ugly. We won some close ones, which was exciting. I was so happy for Gillibon and Hammond. I mean, to win those close ones in the end, that was awesome. And it went well.
It did go well. What did you see out of Hammond, for example?
I like him. He's got great upside. He's going to keep getting better. He kept his composure the whole time. And, man, when he was in on that shot at the end, I mean, he really showed a great position, strength, poise. That was just a very impressive final 20 seconds. How about it?
And no question. And then you mentioned Gulabon as well. But, again, it comes down in 8 of those 10. Well, conservatively, I'll say 8 out of 10. If you're Iowa, how concerned are you that in the last 75 seconds of each one of those 8 that maybe you didn't have in that? You may have had the best wrestler for the first, 5:45, but you didn't have the best guy in the last 75.
Yeah, it's just like anti-Iowa. Dave Gable must be like rolling over and scratching his head. I think they had some weight cutting issues. I think they probably cut too much water acutely and didn't recover very well. I think the excitement definitely helped the Penn State boys. I mean, I think the adrenaline of Hammond finishing at the end, that was very impressive. And same with Gillibon. I mean, not that they couldn't have done a rec call. They would have done it in rec call. Right. But a lot of excitement, and our guys, we had the home field, the home gym, what have you, and controlled the weight right, and we were strong in that final 7th minute. I mean, we can wrestle. We wrestlers can go tirelessly in the wrestling room, but when you got to manage your water weight and recover, you got to be smart about your recovery, and I'd say Iowa made some mistakes in that area.
How tough is it for a college wrestler when they're wrestling, one team is wrestling Friday and Sunday, or one team even is traveling on a Friday, then they come back home on a Sunday or vice versa, and then the other team is just off one for Friday, and they have just one in the weekend.
Well, I would never want to take any away from our victory. I mean, Penn State wrestled awesome. But, yeah, I mean, what you just said, Iowa, they went into Maryland, and they creamed Maryland Friday night, and then they had to fool with traveling up here, getting back down to weight. It's certainly an advantage to the home team that just gets the weight and all the excitement of BJC. And, yeah, certainly it's to our advantage. But we won those close matches just because we outfought those guys in the end, and that was good.
It is the one sport where how you determine the national champion is different as to how you go through a regular season. You determine the national champion through the tournament, while the regular season is determined through dual meets. I know the national duels are coming up, and Penn State, they're not participating. Cale doesn't do that. He knows that you win the national title by winning the tournament. How do you feel about that?
I don't like it. I think they should compete in the national duels, but that's a personal decision for them. They've got to do what they feels best. But, you know, I'm not in that court. I mean, I think that they should participate in the national duels. I think it's good for our sport. I think it's exciting. But, of course, Cale and Casey and Cody can make an argument otherwise, and I respect their position.
The other part, I mean, in terms of how they determine the title, by going through tournament. Now, Penn State did a great job the last couple of years where Taylor and Ruth gave them a lot of bonus points to help win in nationals.
Sure.
So when you look at the teams this year across the country, which ones have some guys that can get some bonus points that can swing a title one way or the other team-wise?
We don't have the Ruth and Taylor, obviously, this year.
Yep.
And Ohio State has the ringers. I mean, on paper, you could argue that Ohio State's a slight favorite, but they got some big money scorers and a few really elite individuals.
Yeah,
but it's really going to – it's pretty – Minnesota, Iowa, Ohio State, they're all pretty similar teams with, you know, seven or eight potential All-Americans and two or three potential finalists. I mean, it's forget paper. It's just going to all shake out at the end. I mean, of course, we'd love to be in it, and if Penn State performs over their head, they will be in it. But it's, you know, we don't have those individual firepower that we've had in the recent years. So we have a balanced dual meet team, as you've seen, although just a couple light spots, which has kept us from winning against Minnesota, Iowa, and Ohio State.
When you look at Penn State, they're a high action team. They promote high action. They're entertaining to watch. Rules-wise, your opinion here. Your rules wise across the, you know, as the way collegiate wrestling is right now, is there anything you'd change to make it more of a high action sport?
I think we got good rules. I think the push-out rule is a good rule. I agree with you that Penn State is quite dynamic and gets after it. I will say from an aggression standpoint, we in Pennsylvania stand out in our top-bottom wrestling. We work harder on top and bottom and scramble better. A lot of the Midwest teams are really dominant on their feet. I think that's what separated Penn State from the pack the past 4 years. A lot of things have separated, but that's one of the things, and specifically David and Ed being so good on top.
Right.
And David being from Ohio is not a situation with Pennsylvania, but just in general, PA wrestling is really good at top-bottom, and some of the Midwest teams don't pay as much attention to it. So we do well there. I think we should encourage more action. I think the rules could, you know, penalize the top guy for stalling more. There's too much, you know, they let him ride too much just for the riding time point. You got to work to turn better. And like I said, the push-out rule, which is used in freestyle, I believe that would be a great rule to use in folk style. It would prevent the out-of-bounds. There's just too many guys play the edge there and try to get out of bounds to avoid the finishing of a takedown, which becomes strategy. I mean, there's so many points scored on the edge, so many points scored grabbing the ankles on the edge. But if we had a push-out rule, it would just increase the intensity of the action, and it would also make conditioning more of a factor because there wouldn't be so many breathers when guys go out of bounds.
Should they consider eliminating the riding time point?
You know, that's a heavy question. I don't know. I could make an argument for either case. I sit on the fence.
Okay.
Put me on a spot there, Steve. I don't know.
That's what this show's all about.
Okay.
Where were you last night?
No, I'm okay with removing it. I mean, I think it's for the typical fan that's not into it, like we know wrestling, it's a pain in the butt to follow. It's just one less thing they'd have to worry about. So I'm fine removing it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't sit here and advocate for it. I think it separates good from great sometimes.
I've always been fine with keeping it, and the reason I've always been fine with keeping it is that I still say that if you take it out of there, you're still going to see guys riding on top with the idea of, look, let's just ride this thing out and see if I can get all the way to the end anyway.
Sure, or grind them out, tire them out. I mean, riding serves a purpose of tiring the bottom guy out. You want to be physical on top. So
you take that arm bar and you drill it right into the back of that neck.
Yeah. Usually when guys have the bars, though, they are working to crank and turn. It's more of the stalling that bothers us.
Yeah.
I think if referees would be permitted to call stalling a little quicker on top, that would be okay, at least a warning.
Doing a lot of high school wrestling, obviously, lately as well, right? That's what you guys have been working on, some high school wrestling?
Yeah, it's been fun working with Brian at WHVL, and our producer, Stroh, he's a wrestler. He's into it, and it's been really great. WHVL is totally supporting high school sports, not just wrestling, but last night I watched State College get beat by Altoona and girls' hoops.
Yep.
So, I mean, just good to see the high school kids getting their recognition and getting their dues. So, Tripster, you got some major knowledge going on those broadcasts.
I'm not surprised he gets it done. I'm not surprised he's good. The other part, though, is are you seeing a good caliber of wrestling at the high school level?
The kids that do it year-round are. There's a lot of average kids and some light spots. And the coaches need to do better promoting our sport. I mean, there should never be a forfeit in Central Pennsylvania. We have such a rich tradition of wrestling in so many. I'm entrenched in youth wrestling and what have you, and there's so many kids do it. We got to keep those kids out of junior high and high school and keep them engaged. And even if they're not starting right away, keep them on the teams. And coaches need to do better promoting our sport, you know, consistently. But from a standpoint of quality, we have some studs. Hayden Hidley, you know, Mifflin County, Trevor Quirrell, Belfont, Brockport. I mean, there's some good ones. But overall, we're, you know, not as good as we should be.
In your camp, what kind of talent level are you seeing in the camps?
I see high talent level in the camps, but they don't just come from Central PA. They come from all over the place. I cater to a lot of kids that want to be great, and they're willing to travel here. And, you know, we got an awesome facility and awesome competition and coaching, so it goes really well. But that keeps growing. But that's a lot of kids from Pittsburgh, kids from Philly, kids from all over the country, really.
Yeah.
As a whole, is the sport of wrestling, in your mind, in Pennsylvania, pretty steady? Is it growing in popularity, decreasing in popularity?
Well, the facts are it's growing in the youth level. It's around stable at the junior high, and there's a few less kids doing it in high school, especially at the senior grade. I mean, it's hard grind. If you're not going to see that starting lineup, it's hard to stay with it. You got to have coaches. We need a better JV schedule. We need coaches motivating these kids to stay out. But, yeah, I mean, the facts are there. The numbers are not as high as they were 20 years ago. So, yeah, I think wrestling's thriving and becoming very popular, but the reality is more kids are starting younger, and there's too much competition. These kids get fried. I'm more an advocate of training kids, developing them, helping them develop motivation for our sport, passion for our sport, not as much competition. But it's not just wrestling. I mean, it's Little League syndrome, too. Look at Little League baseball. Yeah. We got obsessive parents of 7-8-year-olds think they need all this competition. It's just ridiculous. Kids need to have fun, develop skills, let competition come more in their teenage years. But look, the same thing happens in baseball. I mean, there's way more Little League baseball players than there are teenage baseball players. Right. Lots of kids scrapping in the teenage years. So it's not just unique to wrestling. As hard as wrestling is, I'm just glad some kids stay with it through high school. It's hard.
Well, you know, the dedication level takes a lot. Yeah. And we know the high school football numbers are down. I mean, so, I mean, there's numbers down in a lot of sports across the country. The one that's up, soccer.
I think lacrosse is factored in.
Yeah, lacrosse is factored in as well. But it takes a lot of dedication. And after a while, if you don't personally feel like you're seeing maybe progress, this is where you talk about junior high, encourage, push a little bit, and so forth. If you can feel that, then maybe you do stick with it, that your dedication is paying off.
Yeah, and we need more JV tournaments. Yeah. I mean, we need for kids that start in seventh grade, for them to go up against a kid that's got 3 years' experience already is really tough. We need more JV tournaments for junior high and high school. That would help our retention. And we need coaches just to keep the kids motivated and organized and run exhibition matches and JV duels, just like we cultivate in other sports. I mean, basketball and football have structured JV programs, and we need that in wrestling, and we need the coaches to take the time to do that.
Tell us a little bit about when your next camps are and so forth.
Well, every Wednesday night at my home training center is an open gym. It's great. I mean, anybody who's never been comes free on Wednesday nights at 7, which I guess that's tomorrow. So I'm out in Bowlesburg, and we train all sorts of serious local kids. Summer camp that you mentioned is at the Ramada Inn. That's a great convention center. They really do it up right there at the hotel. We just fill that place with mats and take a lot of rooms for the out-of-town kids, and the local kids come and join us, and that's middle of July, July 12th through 25th. So that's the scoop on the summer camp.
Tell us a little bit about Advocare there.
Advocare, you're still lean and mean, Steve. You're looking good.
I appreciate it.
I'm trying to get Trip on muscle game. So, no, Advocare is great.
Could you imagine me with muscle? I mean, I'm already pretty much a specimen. Could you imagine me?
You'd be dangerous, Brian.
You're actually to the line of dangerous now. This could throw you over the top.
I'd be one of a kind.
Yeah, the scoop on Advocare is as I'm heading to 50, I've embraced fitness for myself and my family as well as my athletes, and we've really just taking the nutrition to a new level. So our national spokesperson is Drew Brees. We have a really strong company, been around for 20 years. And I try to get the kids to eat healthier, to quit eating so much junk food and fast food, and to eat healthy foods. And the energy drinks are so much better. So we have an energy drink called Spark and Rehydrate that are better for the kids. And then for the parents, we have a 24-day challenge program. So it's just great, healthy nutrition. And anybody that's interested can, you know, just contact me.
It's always great to see you.
You too, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming in. Appreciate the time.
Always glad to talk wrestling.
Ken Shorto. Made some interesting points in there. We'll talk about that in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. You're involved in wrestling, and
the JV thing is something that he brought up that was interesting.
I think he's dead on, spot on that. I think you have to find a way to have these wrestlers who are not breaking into the varsity lineup, give them an opportunity to wrestle. One of the big problems you have in wrestling is numbers. You need the numbers to practice with, but a lot of teams barely can field a team right now. So there's no exhibition or JV matches for those kids on bigger teams that aren't breaking into the starting lineup. I think having a JV tournament of some sort is a really good idea. Maybe it's just an individual thing, but I think it's a really good idea. It's something to look forward to maybe at the end of the year for those kids that are not going to make sectionals and districts because they didn't qualify. At least it's something at the end of the tunnel to look forward to for all the efforts through the year. I mean, there are very few sports that don't have at least a JV opportunity for those players that aren't playing varsity.
Yet, how many JV football games do you have canceled
well,
this year?
And that's an excellent point. I mean, when you're looking at small teams for, and we're using the example here of football, you know, there were a few games, four or five, that I know that were canceled. And there are other teams that have so many players that they could play two games. Wrestling's biggest issue is it's a lot of work. Not that any other sport isn't a lot of work. It's a lot of work, a lot of effort, some sacrifice along the way. And there are a lot of other things that you can do besides wrestling. So if you're not seeing the mat, if you're not getting mat time, there are a lot more things you could do instead of it. And I think that's where a lot of teams have seen numbers go down. But I think the JV idea is a good way to at least start the process of changing it.
Don't know. I see more young people getting into lacrosse and a lot more getting into soccer.
The benefit, though, with lacrosse is at least it's a spring sport. In most schools, anyway. Whereas this being a winter sport, you could actually... I don't see wrestling losing out as much to lacrosse as maybe baseball does.
I'm talking about, like, growing up.
You mean in general, yeah. Okay.
Interest level, I'm going to go on, I'm going to play soccer. And parents are encouraging them to play soccer because while there is a lot of running and tremendous skill... You also don't have to go and cut weight, get your head beaten in, any of that stuff.
That's very true. No, that's why I said it's a very challenging sport. Now, I look at it a lot differently now than when I was in high school. I had friends who wrestled in high school. I was not a wrestling fan. I did not do the sport very well, so I didn't really give it much thought. But in watching my son come up in through wrestling programs, you know, when you see it, you realize the sacrifice, the time, and the physicality of the sport in general. It's like, man, I don't know if I could do that even if I was his age anymore.
Well, look, let's be honest about it. Wrestling needs to be promoting itself. Why? Because wrestling is always on the cutting edge of disappearing.
Very true.
Always. Okay? And people, across this area, no. Excuse me. Okay? You got to be able to leave your area. I leave the area a lot. I'm all over the country, okay? You may love it and it may be entrenched here, but ask yourself, why did it almost not make the Olympics? And why did the number of Division I varsity wrestling programs continue to dwindle? It's down to 76 now. 76. Do you know how low a number that is in college sports?
I can tell you 20 years ago, you rarely saw any matches that didn't have a full complement of wrestlers on both sides. Now, if you see one, it's very unique.
It is a constant fight across the country to keep the numbers up and keep the sport alive. I think some people get into it when they're young. When they get to that junior high, that's that make or break level as to whether I want to keep doing it or not.
And that's junior high into, like, you know, let's say 10th grade. And if you're not seeing progress, like, you know, you don't feel like you're getting progress, and that's where we're talking about more JV matches. Okay, now you're back and say, okay, do I want to keep doing this?
Well, and when you do have that sophomore or even freshman that breaks into the lineup for one reason or another, you know, sometimes it's because they're talented and can do it. Sometimes it's because there's a hole at that weight class, and now they're getting beaten around by juniors and seniors, as Ken talked about, right, guys that are 2 and 3 years older than them, and their desire to go out and do it next year is going to go away.
But take, for example, the SEC. The SEC doesn't have wrestling. Hey, there's a Power 5 conference that does not have the sport. And that's an entire section of the country. Now, there are more participants now in California, but there also, has been a much greater growth in ice hockey in California. There are more of the growth rate of hockey in California is much greater than it is in wrestling. They say there's a little bit more in Texas. That, to a point. But when you have an entire conference that doesn't have it,